I went downtown the other day to buy some Legos. I heard that they had a big sale. People were lining up for blocks. Well, because what I like to do is when I come home from a hard day at work, I like to take a box of Legos and throw them out on the floor, take my shoes off, and I like to walk on them as I go to my chair. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Of course it does. Most of us spend our entire lives trying to build a life of comfort and security and wealth for us and our families. That's kind of the way of things. In the gospel today, Jesus kind of challenges us on that a little bit, doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't mince many words when he says that Lazarus will be far better off after death than will the rich man. And I think that gives me time to pause just a little bit to look at my life. But instead of just making it a problem too big to handle, because let's face it, our country is pretty wealthy and most of us are pretty well off and well-to-do, is there a way to make this gospel maybe a little bit more relatable to our lives? And I think there is. So I'm going to start out with the rich man. So the rich man, it said he dressed in purple garments and linen and dined sumptuously. Well, purple is pretty important in this story because purple is very hard to come by, very expensive. Purple, if somebody wore purple, they were royalty, they were dignitaries. And when someone wore purple, they wanted others to know that they were had that position and that title. So in today's world, it might be like somebody buying and driving a specific kind of car, right? A really nice car, that other people would know that they have money. And so I think that challenges us to be on guard that if we do have wealth, let's not flaunt it, right? I mean, growing up, my parents did a great job of teaching my sister and I that there will always be people in this world that have more than we do. And there will always be people in this world that have less than we do. And the important thing is to keep it in perspective. Another thing that we know about the rich man is that apparently he needed glasses because Lazarus is lying in his door and yet seemingly he can't even see them. He can't even see him laying there. I guess this goes with the management strategy that if we don't acknowledge that there's a problem, there isn't one, right? But there's a big problem here. There's a big problem because a man is lying at his door and he doesn't even see him. And that makes me, kind of challenges me a little bit to say, who's close to me that I don't see is in need? Because that brings us then to Lazarus. So what do we know about Lazarus? Well, we know that he has several afflictions. He has sores, he's starving, he's probably lonely. There are a number of things going on here. And it may be easy for us to say, you know what, I'm never going to meet somebody like Lazarus in my life, so this doesn't apply to me. Of course, we're probably not going to meet someone exactly like Lazarus who has sores on him, lying in a doorstep. But it's probably pretty likely that we're going to encounter someone who has emotional scars, something that happened in their lives or is happening in their lives, something that happened in the past is happening now, maybe someone is being bullied or harassed. So we do encounter people like Lazarus in our lives. But even though they may not have this open leprosy, they certainly have wounds. Another thing that we know about Lazarus is that he has a name. There's not too many parables where Jesus calls out somebody by name. The fact that he has a name has many scholars to believe Jesus was not talking about a parable. That he was actually talking about a Pharisee who was sitting there and Lazarus, who this Pharisee knew. Makes me shudder a little bit. Who do I know by name needs my help? Because if that's true, if the rich man really did know Lazarus, when we talk about that chasm, when Jesus says that chasm was opened up in the netherworld between the two, that becomes even more profound, doesn't it? If this man knew Lazarus by name, then the chasm is even greater. But I think the challenge is how, I can't help but think that if we shrink that chasm here, there won't be one in the life to come. So how do we go about shrinking that chasm? Well, I think the first thing that we can do is certainly pray. We're going to hear a presentation at the end of Mass for the Living Rosary. I think what a great way for us to lift those up in prayer that we know are in need. People that we know by name. Maybe it's our family or friends. Maybe it's our coworkers. People that we go to school with. We all know people in our lives that need our prayers, that need to be lifted up. So let's start with prayer. Let's keep them in our minds so that they don't drift away, so that they don't fall off the radar. Because then the next thing we need to do is kind of move towards action. I mean, I think it's easy for us to say in the story that, okay, well, there's a rich man and there's a poor man and that there's a big difference here. I think for us, I know for me a lot of times I think, well, I mean, there are organizations, you know, that take care of the poor, right? That's what they do. But what about me? What can I do to the people that I know in my life that need my help? Maybe they're just lonely. Maybe they need my companionship. Maybe they need my comfort. But I think the challenge for all of us here today, and especially myself, I think, is how do we shrink that chasm today? How do we go about acknowledging the people in our lives that need our help and then taking that step to help them? So as we leave here today, let's take the next week to kind of maybe think and pray about those people in our lives. Really do need our help. And let's shrink that chasm.